With that said, in Acts chapter 13, in verse number 2, it talks about the early church there. And, of course, in verse 1 it says Antioch. But in verse 2 it says what? As they ministered to the Lord. Now, I have a sermon where I take 8 words in verses 2, 3, and 4, and I add an ing to the end of it so they all kind of rhyme. And the first point is that New Testament Baptist Church there in Antioch was ministering to the Lord. And I think that's what we need to do as our local churches today, is we need to be involved in ministering to the Lord. And I want to talk tonight how you can do just that. Let's pause for a second, ask God's blessing upon it, and we'll go forth. Our Heavenly Father, it's good to be here at Victory Free Will Baptist Church tonight with Pastor Mike and, Lord, his fine people who have come out this night to worship you. I pray that the Holy Spirit would give us from the Word of God exactly what you want us to have, and may their hearts be filled, but yet challenged how they can minister to you through some of the verses we'll share tonight. I pray this now in Christ's name. Amen. Let's look about what our New Testament churches ought to be doing. And tonight is just going to be talking about ministering. What can they do to be a ministering church? Look with me in the book of James chapter 2. Now, I'm just going to begin reading in verse number 1. James 2:1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Now, that's something that means we're showing partiality when we respect some people over the other. Well, what are you talking about respecting? Well, let the Bible speak for itself in verse 2. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring, anybody have a gold ring on tonight? Ladies, you probably got some gold in it somewhere, or jewelry, something like that. A gold ring and goodly apparel, and there came in also a poor man in vile raiment. Now, I see a lot of vile raiment, a lot of churches I go to, and I'm going to have fun here, okay, for a moment. The vile raiment I'm talking about, I go into churches, and everybody's wearing these blue jeans, and they all got slits all up and down. I just don't know if they don't have a job, they can buy clothes without holes in them or not. But if a person comes in who's poor and doesn't have the goodly clothes, and it goes on to verse 3 said, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges? Look at this. Of evil thoughts. When we show partiality to some based on how they look, how much money they have, what they drive, what they may put in the offering plate, when we show that type of partiality over others who may not have those abilities, the Bible says there in verse 4 that we become judges of evil thoughts. Down there in verse, well, I want to slide down, I want to read the whole chapter. How about verse 23? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. See, ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Sometimes that causes people trouble, but if we say that we are people of faith, and yet have these evil thoughts by judging people and by being partial to some who may have more than others, we become judges of evil thoughts. And so one of the great ways of proving our faith to the world is by ministering to those who may be down and out. Now, when I was pastoring in downtown Columbus, there was this Methodist church there, and the pastor and I became friends. We'd see each other on the streets. We weren't that far away. And I kind of stick it to them a little bit when I felt I could, that they need to be out soul winning, and we were running buses, and we were seeing people saved every week, and we were baptizing back then. Back then at the end, the 70s, 80s, and 90s were the golden era in all of our Baptist churches. I mean, they were all filled back then, and they weren't doing that. But he would counter and say, but we have this food pantry, we have a clothes pantry, we have this pantry, we have all these things. We're helping people with legal advice when they're being evicted by this cutthroat, whatever person, the owner of the property, and they can go on and on. He says, the Lord ministered a lot to the poor. He says, what are you doing to minister to the poor? So we throw stones at one side and he throws stones back. And it should be equal. There should be a nice balance there, how we reach out in the community. And that's my challenge to you tonight, to minister to your community. Because over there in chapter 1, verse 26, the Bible says, if any man among you seem to be religious, and we all want to be religious in a Christian way now, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Verse 27 is the kicker verse. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, we do real good, we people of faith, we do real good at keeping ourselves unspotted from the world, but how about the rest of that? There's about three things, and one of them we're doing. How about the other two, though? Visiting the fatherless and the widows. And I, you know, if it's good to visit the widows, how about the widowers? More and more, we're finding there's widowers everywhere. Maybe we should take time to look after them. I grew up in a fine Christian home. Dad and mom were both saved. I had no idea what it would be to be fatherless. My older brother Tom, the eldest in the family, at age 50, he died of skin cancer, and melanoma. And God took him home, and he left behind a 16-year-old son and a 20-year-old son. The 20-year-old was right in the middle of his college. The 16-year-old was just finding out about life, wanting to get his driver's license, and their father passed away. What a hardship on the wife that was left behind raising these two boys. And I don't know if they had a real father figure. They were up in Michigan, and I wasn't able to do a lot there, as so many others weren't. But in churches, we need to be looking out for widows and for the fatherless. That is really true religion. And by those works, people can see that we are Christians, that we have accepted Christ as our Savior. Because who would look after those if Christians don't? Amen. Now, in 1 Timothy, it talks about widows. And that's a pastoral epistle. So we as pastors, maybe even spiritual leaders in the church, deacons, whatever it might be, we need to be looking out for those who are widows indeed. And that's a whole section of scripture that really takes much more time than our remaining time tonight. So I just want to mention that to you. And I want you to go back to the book of Matthew now and look at this. Matthew chapter 20. We'll make that, yes, Matthew 20. In verse 20, then came to him, that's to Christ, the mother of Zebedee's children, with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said, what wilt thou? She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, one on the right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. Now there's a zealous mother for her children. And the other disciples heard that, they were upset about it. And then down in verse, let's see, 26, Christ speaks here, and Jesus Christ says, but it shall not be so. I'm going to back up verse 25 to get more of the context. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them, but it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Just the opposite of what many people in Christianity want. They want the limelight. They want the choice jobs. They want the peachy life. But Jesus says, no, you have it backwards. Whosoever be great, let him be your minister. Verse 27. And whosoever will be chief. A lot of people want to be the chief. I want to be the chief. I want to be in charge. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Amen. Again, the opposite of our human way of thinking. And Jesus puts the nail in the coffin in verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. That is the humility of our Savior. And of course, he had such great humility that he was obedient even unto the death of the cross for you and I. He humbled himself to take on human flesh as he walked this earth and did so many great things. And that's the idea that I think we need to be doing for our community here. We need to be ministering and we need to be serving the community, thereby showing by our works our true faith in Jesus Christ, amen, that we are indeed children of the Almighty, of God in heaven. You say, well, how can we do that? Well, I'm going to help us, not help you, help us tonight. I went on and I looked at Morrill County, and since your church's address is Marengo, I looked up Marengo, there it is, on Wikipedia, and Wikipedia is not always right, but they do have some factual information to try to help you look in your community who these widows, who these fatherless might be. Well, here's what I found. The census of 2010, I don't know if 2020 is out yet. It's not listed. I'm sure they're still dithering over some numbers because the bigger your area is, the more funds you might get from the government. So a lot of areas are still fighting the census. But in the 2010, the population was 342 in the village of Marengo, the great metropolitan area of Marengo. And it's Mount Gilead is the county seat. In 2010, again, 342 people lived there. There were 133 households, 92 families living and making up the village. There were 148 housing units, and as far as the racial makeup, over 95% were white, and if you, those of you who live up here would probably agree to that. And it says there were 133 households, of which 43% had children under 18. That's pretty good. That's almost 50% of the homes in your city of Marengo had children 18 or under living home. There's kids that need to be reached. I was in one church, and it was all people much older than me, about 20 of them on a Sunday night. And they says, and they were very adamant. They said, you can drive up this country road this way, or the country road that way. You can go down these hollow roads and over here and over there. He says, there's nothing but old people. There are no kids. He's probably right. He knew his community. And they were desperate for young people. Well, in your city, almost half of the people living in a home are 18 or under. That means what? There's hope. There's hope. There's hope for you if you want to go that direction. 41% were married couples living together. That means 59% were not living in a home that had a married couple. 20% had a female householder with no husband present. I don't know what the reason, maybe the home split up, whatever reason. It says 13% had someone living alone who was 65 years or older. Let's do that. 13% of 340, I came up with at least 17 people. 17 men or women are living all by themselves, 65 or older, in your city of Marengo. I believe Marengo will be east of your church location, right? So in that little burg there, at least that many. It says the median age is 32 years of age. Would you have thought that was higher in Marengo? Maybe older people? 31% or 108 were under the age of 18. 10% were 65 years older. And the gender makeup was 40% male and 52% female. So if you're looking for a spouse, you have a better chance if you're a male because 52% are females versus the other way around. Now I'm going to compare that with the 2000 census to give us perspective here. Back in that, there was, let me see, only 297 people at the turn of the century lived in Marengo. So your town is growing. A lot of towns are shrinking. People are moving out. Up here, people are moving in. That should be hope. 41% had children under the age of 18. Now there's 43%, so you have more children that are younger. And it says here, 48% in 2000 were married couples. But 10 years later, it went from 48 down to 41%. A lot of homes aren't making it. lot of homes. So that means there's opportunities for your church to minister in those homes where there aren't a husband and wife living together. So in 10 years, it went from almost 50% married couples down to 40%. That's 10% drop in 10 years. That is large. That's an exceptionally large. So more of our children are growing up in homes where there's only one parent. And if it's the mom, I can read the income stats. Let me see if I got this right. I don't want to read that. It says here the median income is $33,000, and for women it's only $21,000. So for males, $33,000, for women, $21,000, and there's 50% of the homes with a mom living with children. So the mom, can she make it on a 40-hour per week job? I don't think so. I think she's probably taking up a part-time job. Now, it's hard enough for a single man on $33,000, the median income for men, to take care of a home. And just think how much harder it is for the ladies. Might be widows. Don't know. It says here, it says that back in 2000, only 5% had someone living alone who was 65 or older. Now it's up to 10%. That is doubled. Church, there's opportunities everywhere in Morrow County, in the city of Marengo. There's fatherless, there's widows. And when's the last time, including me, I'm not here throwing stones, I'm here to challenge and encourage and exhort to myself as well, when's the last time we visited the fatherless, took them out to McDonald's, did something good for them? When's the last time we did something for one of the widows, even in our own church, your own congregation? That's true religion and undefiled, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their, anybody remember that word? Affliction. That means people who are living, you say, oh, they look happy to me. The Bible says that home life is affliction. I don't know what it is to be alone. I grew up in a home with four children. There in Cleveland, Ohio, I had five children. Sam is one of 16 grandkids that my wife Cindy and I have. There's always people around us. I've always been in church. I don't know what it is to live all by oneself. When I pastored, we did have widows. I pastored the same church for 30 years. We had widows, and they said one of the hardest things is when they left church, they went home to an empty house. No one there. They said loneliness would just eat away at their bones and their mind. Religion, undefiled, that we visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. I think that's a good way of ministering to your community. I think, now I don't know how many you have on Sunday morning. Wednesday nights are a little bit smaller like Sunday night in most churches. But if you want to see your church double, I would say if you started taking care of the needs of the widows and the fatherless, people would realize that you love them. Why would anybody else do that if it wasn't of a heart of love? And they would say, that's true religion. Not that guy on TV who has 7,000 people in his auditorium and owns his own airplanes. And I'd go on and on and are worth tens of millions of dollars. I heard Larry King interview a Christian minister. And I get this man's name, and it was years ago, and of course Larry King was Jewish. Larry King has passed away recently. Anybody know that name I'm throwing out there? Maybe some of you do. He interviewed, had a big spot on TV, interviewed anybody and everybody, and he said to this minister, how many coats do you have? And the minister said, well, I guess I have a lot of coats. He says, how many have you given to someone on the street? Now, that is a question that would stop you dead in your tracks. If you hadn't given any, you might want to lie and say, well, one, but we can't lie. And the minister said, none. He says, what religion are you? He says, we're Christians. He says, as long as there's anybody without a coat in winter, you will never convert me to Christianity. That came out of Larry King's mouth. And I thought, boy, that is a telling statement, is it not? You see how the world is looking at Christianity? Not just that we're driving nice cars and on national TV and we own airplanes and everything else. Nobody owns an airplane here. But they're seeing how we help others who are down and out. Someone wrote an article in the Dispatch years ago, it's a religious section, and the title was, "Where Can You Find Jesus at Christmas?" And the whole idea was, we need to look low, because that's where Christ was, in his humility, helping those who didn't have. That's what Christ did. Christ says, if you'll be great, you want to become great? You be a minister. You want to be chief? You be a servant. And for the pastor and myself, for young Sam growing up, if there's deacons here, that's how we become great. We minister to others. Just as we read in our opening verse that they ministered there in Antioch, that first church there at Antioch, they ministered to those round about them. And the way they did it was for the Lord. I just have to share this as well. Just so you have an idea how Jesus looks at this. Oh, where do I want to go to? Where's my notes when I need them? Matthew 25, verse 40. Jesus is saying verse 35, Jesus says, "For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me." Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked or clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee?" And the king, that's Jesus, "and the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least," the guy who comes in poor raiment, vile raiment, the scripture says, "inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." How did that church there in Antioch minister to the Lord? They reached out to the undeserving. They reached out to those who didn't have it. They visited those who were in prison. They took care of the sick. They took care of those who didn't have any. Can you believe not having clothes to wear? And that's what that Methodist preacher confronted me with down there on High Street, right downtown, almost 40 years ago. "Yeah, you guys are running buses and you're winning people to Christ, and that's great. We Methodists, John Wesley's group said we need to be doing that." But he says, "What are you doing for the people on the street people don't have?" And so we have to change some things. That's absolute Bible. And I think Christ is pleased when his children, you and I, reach out to those in need. True religion and undefiled, that we visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so glad for the opportunity to minister here tonight. Lord, I pray that we have aroused the mental, the soul, the spiritual awareness of everyone here. And may we take to heart our own county, Morrow County, our own city that our address is named after, Marengo, and see the need of widows, and at least 50% of the homes not having a father in them. And may we become mentors and helpers. And as you said in Matthew 20, may we become ministers and servants to them. Because inasmuch as we help those, we have done it unto the Savior. I pray this now in Christ's name. Amen. And Pastor, I'm going to present you with the Wikipedia from Marengo.
You know, I've said many times that when you look at the Bible, you find a balance, and I think that's exactly what Brother Tim was saying. You know, the soul winning balanced with helping the poor. You know, it's not an either or thing. And I think a lot of people try to do either or things with the Bible when it's very balanced. So thank you very much for that. Very challenging message. You know, you think about, as he was talking about just reading what Wikipedia has, I was thinking, isn't that sad that Tim knows more about Marengo than we do right now? we drive right through it to come here. But no, it's a good, thank you for that. Thankful for the ministry, Fellowship Track Lead, getting the gospel out, but also remembering where we're at right here, you know. And again, it's a balance because I've had people ask, why do you go to other countries and help? Why do you send missionaries other places, you know, when there are people that are poor and needy and different things here? And it, again, it's a balance. You help them here, you help them, you know, around the world. So thank you very much for that. I'm going to get a song. We're going to open up the altar. You know, we always want to give a chance. If you want to come up here and pray, or you want to pray about your at your seat. But, you know, if something's touched you, whether it's in the message or maybe the Holy Spirit's, you know, I don't know about you, but I've had the Holy Spirit deal with something, even a minor part of the message he just hit on. And so if there's something you need to pray about, I always want to give an opportunity.